glad that my voice sounds really good right now. And I'm also glad that Pastor Jerry was Pastor Jerry and put all the pressure on me before I came up. I appreciate that. For those of you who weren't here the last time that I was up here, my name's Terrence. I'm the youth director here. My wife is a really pretty lady right there. Say hi, babe. I'll hear about that later. But we're going through a message series right now on Ephesians. And I've been given chapter 4. So I'm not going to go all the way through chapter 4, okay? So just calm down. This is going to be 7 verses. But there's so much packed in this book, or in this chapter. It was really hard for me to not pull a Chris and try and jam it all in there, because he loves the word and he loves to get everything in there. And I wanted to too, but there's just not enough time. There's so much stuff in this chapter. And this message, I've named it Squad Up. What does that mean? What does Squad Up mean? It means unify, come together, be one, right? So as I mentioned last time I was up here, a version that I love to use in the Bible is the Message, because I feel like it's very, like, it's us. It's how we talk now, not 2,000 years ago. So, like, it connects really well. Some of you might not like it. I'm sorry for that. So I threw some NLT in there as well. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the first 7 verses for you guys. And how I'm going to do this is I'm going to read first from the version of the Message, and I'm going to walk right into the NLT so that we can hear them both. We're going to compare them together. So verses 1 through 3 in the Message says, "In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up in here, a prisoner for the Master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road that God called you to travel. I do not want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. Mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert, noticing differences, and quick to mending fences." NLT says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other, for each other's faults, because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." So let's talk about those first 3 verses. Paul is telling us, he says, hey, listen, just because I'm in here for the very purpose that I've been spending my time and my life equipping you guys for, don't let that shake you. Don't get scared. Don't let it distract you from the fact that I'm in here for the reason that I've been equipping you for. I want you to walk. And then he says, no, better yet, I want you to run. So don't walk. Don't move forward cautiously, scared, with doubt. But run, he says. Don't walk, but run. Full speed, without doubt, with urgency, with conviction. Having a short memory of why I'm in here in the first place. Be full of courage and encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Run. When you're trying to get a message to someone, as they were, the message of Christ, how powerful do you think it would have been if they just cautiously walked up and said, hey, are you a Christian? Do you know about Jesus? All right, cool. Can I talk to you about it? How many people do you think would have been won over to Christ by that? You guys have all dealt with salesmen, right? At some point or another in your lives, right? Are you going to be more willing to listen to someone who's very, I don't know, unsure of themselves? They don't know the product that they're selling. They don't really understand what they're doing, but you should just take it because I've been told to tell you to take this. It's good for you. Why? Because it's good for you. Versus, guys, guess what? We have a Savior. We have a Savior. We have a Christ who's died on the cross for us. I'm walking with this guy right now who promises that he is the one. I've been walking with him. I've been following him. I've been watching him. I've been witnessing him produce miracles. I've seen it over and over and over. You got to come and see this. You got to come. Would you be more willing to give someone your time that was like that versus there's this guy, he like saves people and stuff, and I mean, he says cool things, and he does these really neat like tricks where he can feed a lot of people with a little bit of food. It's pretty tight. You should come see it. No, because if they see that you're not invested in what you're trying to invest into them, they're gone. They're not going to listen. And Paul knows this. He knows this from experience. He's sitting in prison while he's telling all of us this, right? So I'm going to move on to the next few verses. This is 4-6. In the Message, it says, "You are all called to travel in the same road, in the same direction, to stay together, both outwardly and inwardly." We're going to touch on that in a second. "You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated in oneness." In the NLT version, it says, "For there is one body, one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, living through all." This is probably my favorite part of these verses right here. It says, basically, so we're called, right? We're called to walk on the same road towards the same thing. For the same God. Don't stroll off wandering down a path that leads to nowhere. Meaning, don't waste your time. As it is very valuable. Time is very valuable. Would you guys not agree? Even right now, time is very valuable. Naps should be expensive, like the most expensive commodity out there. But time is valuable. You can't waste it. And in this message, he's trying to make us sense the urgency in his voice and in his message. It is very valuable. So don't use that time when he says strolling off and wandering down paths that lead nowhere, creating, growing division among yourselves, the church. Mark yourselves with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, is what it says in the Message. So basically, not on a whim, or when the mood strikes you right, to work together. But then bail whenever it becomes difficult. Who of us in here has been grouped up or paired up with someone to work on a project, and halfway through it, you're like, I'm going to kill this person. I thought this person was all right at first, but now I've got a huge laundry list of how I can convince people that they're horrible. Right? I mean, I never have been there, but you guys have. So, it says, but continuously pouring into each other through acts of love. Continuously means not stopping. You do it just in fits and starts. You're doing it when you feel like it. And then you stop when it gets too hard. To continuously pour into each other with acts of love means working through the hard stuff. It means pushing through the hard things, the hard conversations. It means having the hard conversations. It says, be alert, quick to notice differences, and even quicker to mend fences. And we're not talking about differences of, I'm a Cowboys fan and I know someone else is a Redskins fan, so they're off limits to me. I'm not ever going to serve in ministry with them because of that, because of their dirty, dirty soul, because they're a Redskins fan. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying the things that cause division. The things that cause division in the church right now, and for a while, but right now, like politics. You listening? In the church, in the same church, things that cause division, like politics, like race, like creed. What does that look like? What does it look like to push through those things? Grab a cup of coffee. You don't like coffee? I don't know what to tell you. Sit down, grab a cup of coffee, go get some ice cream. Sit face to face with these people. Have the conversation. Find ways while discussing your differences and learning the why behind the differences. Learn the why behind why they're different, why they think differently than you do. Because I can tell you from experience, when you sit down and you invest your time into that, sometimes you walk away thinking differently. Sometimes you walk away leaving a couple of the links of the chain that has been holding you back for so long on the table. You do this together and you cultivate a spirit of love rather than division. Now, we're going to pause right there and I'm going to introduce to you a a story. Nonfiction. Something that I'm walking through myself right now. I have this friend. His name is Chris, not Pastor Chris. We worked in ministry together for a few years. We had offices like literally right next to one another. Things happened. I'm at a different church, not because of anything bad, but like life happened. So when we split ways. There was really nothing binding us together anymore. And I let those tools. So here's some of the tools of the enemy. Different backgrounds, different cultures. Create different views. It's not a bad thing. To be different is not bad. It can be beautiful. It can do some extraordinary, crazy, crazy things. And when I say extraordinary and crazy, I'm using myself as an example, because my heart in those few years started to gather bitterness and division. The blocks of division were just over my head. I didn't agree with some of the things that my friend was doing. I didn't see eye to eye with him, but I didn't ask him. I predetermined his motives without even saying anything to him. I crippled him before he even had a chance to tell me why he was doing what he was doing, why he was passionate about what he was passionate about. What's wrong with that? Everything. Everything is wrong with that. There's not one thing about that that you can look at and say, I see where you're coming from. No. That's the enemy. That's the lens of the enemy helping you to find understanding in that situation. So, while I was working on this message and reading the Word of God, surprise, surprise, I got convicted. So, through that conviction, there were some conversations, a little bit of pushback from me to God, but surprise, surprise, he won. And we had a conversation. I made a phone call. We sat at a coffee shop and we talked for hours. It was great. We walked away with a bigger love for each other than we even had when we worked together, and with a renewed passion for the same thing. God's purpose, God's will. We have polar opposite views and differences whenever it comes to things like politics. But those differences can complement one another side by side in ministry. We were both given a reach that is uncompromised by each other. We can use that to divide ourselves, or we can use that to come together, be creative, walk shoulder to shoulder, and slay giants as we go. And I robbed myself and him of those opportunities for the past few years. I can't get that time back. I wish that I could. But I know that moving forward, we will partner. We will come together. We will have that oneness in ministry. Because regardless if we don't see eye to eye on things outside of the church, as long as our hearts are aligned with what is the center of the church, which is Jesus, everything else will work out. I promise. God is bigger than anything ever. Ever. They're, small word, but it means a lot. God is bigger than anything ever. All right, I'm going to read this last verse now. I know I said the last one was my favorite, but this is probably my favorite. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same out of the generosity of Christ. Each of us is given his own gift. He was generous in making us different. I'm going to say that again. He was generous. He's a generous gift giver. He was generous in making us different. We're all different. Strategically, we're all different because we're all meant to reach different people. He has a reach that can get to places that is, if I try my hardest on my best day, I won't come close. There are people that I won't be able to reach, that I won't be able to touch with the love of God. But guess what? I'm equipped to now that I'm walking shoulder to shoulder with my brother in Christ, who is created differently than me. Raised with a different background. Raised with different culture. With different views. Different is not always bad, guys. So, I say this for two things. One, hopefully to encourage inspire. He's encouraged. To encourage, inspire, to walk out of here today. The person that you're thinking of right now, could be one, could be 10. To walk out of here today and make that phone call. It's one of the most crippling things in the church is ourselves. We create barriers between one another because our way is better. And we're justified in thinking so. We need to lose that justification. We need to throw it out the window, and we need to start picking up God's grace and his love. And start sharing that instead of throwing the darts of bitterness. Because it doesn't do any good for the kingdom. Why were we created? Kingdom work, guys. Salt and the light. If we're throwing darts at one another and building a case in our own mind of how we're right and they're wrong, guess what's never going to get done? God's will is never going to get done in certain people's lives. We're equipped to help people. We're equipped to change people. We're equipped to inspire and to encourage people, to love people. But if we have all the tools and we're not using them for what God has intended, we're never going to get there and people are going to miss out. So, the story doesn't end there. There is another buddy in ministry that I have to have a conversation with. He knows that we're going to sit and we're going to talk. I've already had that initial phone call. But the story with Chris is still being written. Just because I made it okay doesn't mean that it's all good and it's water under the bridge, right? It doesn't mean that. It means there's still a lot of work to be done. And that lot of work looks like more coffee, more sitting down, more talking, me going to functions of his, him coming to functions of mine, me being there to support him, and him being here to support me. So while that story's still being written, I have another one that I'm going to start with, another buddy that I just mentioned. I'm going to start checking these off the list. I'm going to start getting rid of all of those pitfalls that God threw, or that the enemy threw in front of me to keep me from fully engaging in ministry and ministering to people, kids, like I was intended to, like I was created for. So my question to you, church, is are you going to throw that empty script back on the shelf? Or are you going to start writing that story? Beautiful story of God's redeeming love and reconciliation. Because without it, we have nothing. We're empty-handed when we walk into battle with the enemy. We need him. We need to be able to be okay to say, I need Chris. I need him. I need him to be able to carry out certain things that God has put in front of me. And for 2 years, I've sidestepped those things, or I've made do. I know not every single person in here is involved in ministry. It's okay, because I'm not talking to people that are involved in ministry. I'm talking about being one in Christ. It says, one faith, one God, an absolute rule over all, working in all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think are permeated in oneness. Oneness, it's a noun. The fact or state of being unified or whole, though compromised, of two or more parts. I'm talking to husbands, talking to wives. Doesn't work. It just doesn't apply to buddies in ministry. Being one in Christ, having that oneness, it's across the board. Husbands, become one with your wives. Wives, become one with your husbands. Have the oneness. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to myself, but I'm also talking to somebody in here today. I'm talking to fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. You can do more in your home for Christ together with that oneness, that unity in God through Christ. Then you can, growing up a knucklehead, thinking that you know more than your parents. Simple as that. Be one, guys. Oneness. I'm going to read it again. The fact or state of being unified or whole, though compromised. Remaining whole, though being compromised. Not blowing up whenever he or she doesn't respond the way that you would expect them to, or that you selfishly want them to in a situation. An argument ensues. Things get said. Division. That's not what we're being charged with. We're being charged with oneness, staying together, though compromised. I'm sure those of you in here who are married and do have kids know that there are multiple compromises a day. Multiple. I'll share one with you from our own home. This is brand new. This morning, Kimberly comes in and she says, "It has been a morning." Noble found some toothpaste and just went nuts. It's everywhere. She said it with joy on her face. A little chuckle, and reassuring me everything's okay. She very easily could have taken the stance of, I was trying to get all this stuff done. I wanted to be there so I wasn't late. Noble did this. This happened. I had to clean all this up. This day sucks already. This is horrible. It's a horrible day. She could have pulled a Terrence. So when I say oneness in the home between husbands and wives, I'm literally talking to myself. Those are things that I'm working on. I know there are those of us in here that need to work on it too. You're no different than me. I would have gotten very upset about that. Literally, I would have gotten upset. I would have thought about everything that I could have to justify my being upset in that moment. But if you don't have oneness, guys, you're never going to learn anything from one another. The way that she reacts and responds in different situations, I learn from that. And I become better for it. I've failed. I've messed up. I haven't reacted the way I was supposed to. And it creates division. But does that mean that I need to hang on to that and never move forward? No. It's the beauty of grace. we can apply. I share that with you guys to share that it can go. You can apply this to any situation or circumstance in your life. Whether it's a buddy in ministry, a friend at school, a wife, a husband, a child. Oneness. God created us to have oneness so that it can permeate. What does permeate mean? It means it gets everywhere, all over everything. If a diaper is stout enough, it will permeate to the front of the church, right? Horrible side by side, but if our love for one another is that strong and overbearing, it will permeate to every corner of our lives. And no one can escape it. Just like you can't escape that smell. No one can escape it. So I'm going to end with that. And I do want to once more challenge you guys. Call that friend. Take the first step. Tell him, hey, I was wrong. It's not okay. Will you walk with me in fixing it? Get in the car on the way home. Honey, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Help me be better. You gotta throw the first rock at that wall to start breaking it down. Make that call. Have that conversation. Don't let it slip. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't even wait till this afternoon or tonight. If it's on your heart now, it's there for a reason. Take care of it. Don't let 2 years of opportunities pass you by. Just don't let it happen, guys. All right, I want to pray for you. Dear God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the body. I just love them all so much. I love that I can feel welcomed and secure up here. I love that you've given me the opportunity to speak your word. And I pray, Lord, that it has reached some hearts and that we'll start to make an immediate impact. And God, for those that are wrestling with it, and want to continue to put it off and come up with different reasons of why it's okay to put it off, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just break those strongholds today, right now, in here, before they walk out of this service. I pray, Lord, if they need that push, that you will send someone their way to ask the right question, say the right thing to start that conversation. I just pray for your love, your blessing, your grace, your protection over all of us. And I thank you for everything that you've ever done for us and everything that you ever will. In your son's name we pray. Amen.